This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Yeah, we're having a charity ball here today. I bet you that song isn't in your record collection, Mr. Switzer.
Oh, it certainly isn't.
For the rest of you, you've tuned in to Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, where we talk about what else?
What else? Well, let's put it this way. We don't insult your intelligence with those catchy slogans or those cheap contests. We insult your intelligence with our good old-fashioned raw advice here on automotive advice. That's what we do here on this fine, upstanding program.
Basically, we'll talk about everything else. And if you want to get in on the fun, you can call us, too, at 516-572-7440, and we will entertain all your thoughts and problems. Believe me, we have enough to fill an hour and more of our own, but we'll entertain yours too if we so be.
All your needs and dreams right here at Motormouth Radio. 516-572-7440 is the phone number to get a hold of us right here on this fine, upstanding Sunday. It's a nice day, huh? You're on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Warm, wonderful weather. Finally. I was outside doing some work on the cars yesterday. Oh, got to tell you, Ray.
Tell me.
Got to tell you. There's one thing I have to say about changing oil in your vehicle, particularly when you're taking the old oil out of the basin and balancing it ever so carefully down the funnel to put it back into the 5-quart recycling.
Yeah.
You're balancing this basin of dirty oil and you're pouring it into down the funnel and paying attention not to spill anything, because you know you spill it, you know, you make drops of black oil everywhere. So I got one thing to say about doing that.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to say?
No.
Ah! That's what I have to say.
That's good.
You know why?
Yeah.
Because every freaking bug, every flying insect, everything that will zoom in on you will attack my body as I'm pouring that oil.
Really?
I get bugs, I get bees, I get moths, I get these little whirligigs that are falling from the trees, and all of a sudden my nose starts itching. I'm like, what? I literally have to put the thing down and scratch my whole body. You can get smacking the heck out of myself. My neighbors think I'm weird, right?
You know, I'll tell you who you sound like.
You
sound just like my wife. You do. And really, the apron is what's setting it off. But no, we happen to have. She doesn't like bugs and bees. Most women don't. Most people don't, right? But
right.
We happen to have these carpenter bees that people mistake for yellow jackets because they're yellow and black, but they're not.
Right.
They don't have stingers. They don't sting you. And they circle around on my deck right outside my back door, and they bore into the deck, into the cedar, and they lay their eggs. And so this time of year, they're out all the time. And my wife hates them. And she's like, oh, the bees. I'm like, don't wave your hand. So first of all, they can't sting you. They don't have stingers.
Right.
She's like, oh, they get by my face. I'm like, yeah, I walk right past them. They hover around by me and go zzz, zzz.
Yeah. Like, and they then, go, not a flower. They look at you and they go, not a flower.
I told her that today. I said, they know. I said, in that little infinitesimal pea brain that they have in of a bee, they know the difference between wood and flesh. I said, I think that's pretty good on a nature scale that they can tell that difference. I said, they don't want you.
Yeah, exactly. But they land on you.
Well,
I mean,
no, they
literally.
Don't.
I'm pouring. Oh, then you landed on me because I'm pouring that, and I got the bee hovering around me, and I have these little black fly things that's on my arm, and I'm looking at them, and I'm trying to pour the oil because you don't want to stop.
Right.
You don't want to stop it because you got drips everywhere. You want to continue pouring into the 5-quart container.
Yeah.
You want to continue the pour. One flow. No. Things are landing on my forehead. Things are landing on my arm. I got the, like I said, and the other thing that has been killing me. You have carpenter bees. I have their, do you know the seeds that fall off the trees that have like that little propeller?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Have you ever seen those things?
Yeah, of course. Polynoses. My neighbor, when I was in Queens, used to call those wing nuts.
Wing nuts.
Because, you know, the wing nuts that fall down. Like, oh, yeah.
We used to call them whirligigs. These little dopey things that fall. Well, I can make a billion of them.
Uh-huh.
Literally, it rains down, and these things will find every freaking orifice on your car. They will go everywhere. You do not expect them. And they're landing on me. And of course, when something like lands on you, you got to go, hey, what the hell was that? You know, you have to just get it off me.
Wife does. That's exactly what she does. These are the green ones, right? The green?
You
know what you got to do with your daughter, of course.
What
the older people used to do to me when I was a kid. You open that end of it up and you stick it on their
nose.
And that's how it got the name Polly Nose, I think, because some poor kid named Polly got attacked by your uncle Bob, who
that
had a quart of Jim Beam in his pocket.
That would interest my daughter for all of about maybe 7, maybe 8 seconds.
All right. Well, hey, listen. Any part of the day where you can entertain a kid is good. Yeah,
I guess so. Right. You got a point. So, yeah, that was what I did yesterday.
All right.
Was to get the oil changed. Yes.
That's why when my kids were little and they had a sandbox, it was great. Because if you do that over the sandbox...
Uh-huh.
And you do spill some, it's like kitty litter. You can just scoop it up in a club and dump it.
Very, very tasty.
Yeah.
Look at you on top of it.
Yeah. Something to think about.
I've
made the art of oil pouring, an art form. I really have. I do. We all do different things. And then, I have a bucket that it's an old Anko soap bucket that I use for oil changes sometimes. And when I pour the oil from that out into the containers, I want that clean, too, so I actually prop it up on top of the funnel that's on the antifreeze or the oil bottle. And then it's always that, sometimes it'll fall. You'll hear boom, 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 boom.
You have to balance it like sculpture,
That's the game I play. And then I get in there with some brake clean or some car brake clean and spray out the bucket so the old oil comes out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I do it, too. I have a coffee can that has a paint stirrer on it, and I will balance the oil filters on that.
Oh, wow, okay.
So the oil filters will drain as well, so
good
I can take those and dispose of them properly.
See, what I do with that is I have a funnel, a fairly large funnel that goes into another bigger bin, and I just put the oil filter upside down, drain side down, into that funnel, so it'll just...
Oh, good.
That's
good. That works.
Whatever. But,
whatever's more precarious.
Yeah. We should probably get together one day and make a post of all of our oil... pouring techniques and put it on our, because we are on all the social platforms, of course. We're Motor Mouth Radio on the web and on Twitter and on Facebook. And on Instagram, we're real_MotorMouth.
Underscore.
Radio. That's where I like to put stuff.
Exactly. That is the truth. And you can call us because we're out and about and around. 516-572-7440. There's the phone number to get a hold of us. And I see... that someone is out there trying to get a hold of us.
There is a flashy thing. So let's go to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys. Chassis John here.
I'm sorry. Who is this again? Oh, Chassis
John.
Oh, you know what? You don't have your usual clear tone. You sound like you're under a pillow.
Yeah.
You sleeping?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's my phone.
All right. Well, that's okay. Now we know who you are. It's cool. What's up, Johnny?
I've got a great story for you about getting rid of used oil.
Okay.
Talk to us.
Years and years ago in the 70s, the back of Popular Science and Popular Mechanics magazine said to dump your oil on the ground by a tree.
That's right. I have that. I have a scan of that. Someone had sent it around. And tell us why they said to do that, John. It was really pretty ingenious.
Because the products that are in the oil are good for the environment and will help your garden grow.
Right.
You're kidding me.
I think there was also something there that said it came from the ground, so let it go back to the ground. Like, you know, like.
Really?
Yeah, return back, like ashes to ashes kind of thing.
Oh,
so
wow.
So for years, every time I did an oil change, I would take that pan, that 5 gallon pan or whatever it was that the oil drained into.
Right.
Go into my backyard, and my dad had some juniper trees, and I would dump that oil right there. And let me tell you something. The one that I dumped it behind grew faster than the other.
But did you get little, like, mobile cans hanging off the tree or little Valvoline buds? Or?
No. Never bore any fruit, but it was a place to get rid of the oil, and I didn't have to worry about it.
You know, John, we've talked about that on the show a lot, and most of us on Long Island, I had the toxic dump behind my garage. We just had a little hole. It was until the point you couldn't walk on it because it was too soft. Then we'd dig another hole and just kind of fill it in there. Everybody did it. Everybody did. You know?
I had a neighbor that used to dump it right in the drain, right in the sewer.
That was the other place. Guys would pull up put the wheel up on the curb, run under the car, just let it drain down into the.
Oh.
I mean, see, that's the water. That's the water drain.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That's not a good idea. We can't recommend that.
But
that's my story.
Wow. So how come you're not out on the boat today? It's got to be hotter there than it is here, and it's hot here.
Oh, yeah, it's hot, but it's kind of windy, so the bay is choppy.
Okay.
And I'm working on the fireboat.
Good. Yeah, you're making great strides on that car, by the way. It's really coming along nice.
After today, I'll have quite a few pictures to post. I'm about 75% done with the roll bar setup.
Right. Yeah.
No, so I'm looking
cutting pieces, notching, and fitting, and the whole nine yards.
Right.
Coming along well.
Yeah. It's nice, John, when a project moves along and doesn't stop because of the problems we all face.
Yes, and right, it is, your ears aren't ringing, John, when every time I'm working on my car, I keep thinking I'm trying to keep it as stock as I can and having the hardest time possible.
Stock stinks!
Exactly.
A wise man said that, right?
Yeah. I'm buying a t-shirt that says that.
Yeah! Nice. Very good.
Yes, a man wiser than I.
All right, Johnny.
All right, my brother.
Take care.
Good talking to you, John.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
516-572-7440 is the phone number. Get a hold of us and hear your oil disposal stories.
Yeah, that's, of course, Chassis John from one of my compadres on Thursday night on Plane in Traffic. We kind of take over. We took over the second show many years ago.
Right.
John, myself, and Macro Man Brian, and we've kind of run this.
You haven't given it back since.
No, we haven't. Well, no one wants it back. So Lewis is in bed by then. Lewis Lee, he's out in bed because he has to get up very early. And we're too stoned to go to bed early, so we just stay. But, you know, it's cool because now we get to – well, actually, now let me mention, next week you may want to tune into that show, Plane in Traffic, on Crowdcast. Well, Dennis Gage is going to be our guest. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Dennis Gage. And the week after, I think he said that Lewis is going to have Antron Brown, the drag racer, who's a Matco Tool, you know, the Matco Tool sponsors his car. So we have Antron Brown on
very cool.
Very famous
drag
racer.
A lot of heavy hitters. Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. So we'll see, you know, if we can line them up for this show, which we typically do. We swap guests back and forth, you know, like oil stories.
Yeah, Dennis Gage would be a hoot.
Yeah. He's still doing it. Still doing
that's great.
Yeah.
That is great. I like his reaction shots are awesome.
Right.
He always tips back and he always puts his hands in the air like, this is a great car. Oh, yeah. Guys, get you one of those. It's like that should be patented.
People have compared you to him to me in the past. They've said, hey, you know that guy Christian Show? He reminds me of Dennis Gay. Is he going to grow a mustache? I'm like, I saw him with a mustache once.
Right.
Once. I said, and that's about it. And the last time he had one was in eighth grade, so I don't know. You know.
Yeah, me and all the Italian women I was in school with.
Right, exactly.
Exactly, exactly.
Philomena.
That's right. Yeah, right. Back in the Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yes.
So let me run something by you, and I don't expect to get an answer or a closure or anything, because I actually ran this by John, who is ultimately more wise than all of us, and he scratched his head. No, I okay. My Pontiac, you know, last week's project was I did the axle seals on the rear end.
Yes.
And, you know, no problem. Everything went back together fine, and you know, no issues. But what I did at the same time is I had the rear wheels off, and I had a set of M&H Racemaster drag radials on the car, which were worn. There was actually, you could see cord in a couple spots. So I said, Okay. I knew this last year. Time for tires. The problem is, in the size that they are, there was like two tires available. Two.
Right.
There was the M&H drag radials again, or Nittos. And I decided to go see our good friend Joe at Tire Town in Rockville Center and ordered the Nittos. And I said, listen, I just brought them the rims. I said, here's the wheels. When you get the tires, it was going to take a few days. I said, just swap them, balance them, call me, I'll pick them up. And in the meantime, I was going to leave the car up on jack stands, but you know, I wanted to drive it. I said, hey, you know what? I got an idea. Alongside of this, I'm dealing with our friend Pete over at Rolling Thunder Cycles, who has a T-Bucket.
Yeah,
and we were talking about he's building a 383 stroker for the car, and with an automatic transmission. And he asked me. He said, "You know, my converter is around 2,200 stall speed, but the bucket weighs about 1,600 pounds, and he's got those huge, fat, you know, the MTs on the back of the car with a 308 rear." I was like, "Ugh, mismatched combination." So his concern was that at highway speeds with the dead rear and the big tires, which take longer to turn, he wouldn't have the engine RPM, and he was afraid his converter may go in and out. And I said, you know, that's kind of what happens on my Pontiac. If I'm in fifth gear, you know, at anything under 70 miles an hour, I'm only turning like 1,700, 1,600 RPM, and my engine isn't turning fast enough, and my water temperature goes up. Because the engine isn't turning fast enough.
Right.
So we got to talking about tire sizes and how much of a tire size change makes a difference on RPM. And that's what led me to think, like, ha, now I have a chance to do a real-world test. So I went to my storage garage where the Fiat is, and I got the Rally 1 wheels that I had on the car years ago.
Oh, yeah.
That have 215, 60, 14-inch tires on them.
Right.
I put those on the back of my car. I said, now I can drive it and see, because what I had on there was a 275/50/17.
Taller.
The width doesn't matter, but a lot taller. I think the 275 is like a 29-inch or 29.5-inch tall. And these, I didn't measure the height of these, but the car now, you could see it's a little squattier in the rear.
Right.
Okay, here we go. I said, I took a ride over Kilowatt Kevin's house the other day and said, okay. You know, the other problem I've been chasing with my car, one of the last things I wanted to fix that was annoying me was the front end still felt a little too harsh over short bumps, and I'd get a little bit of a washboard effect over uneven roads. I talked to the president of Global West, and that's whose front end components. He has the same car. He built the same car for road racing. Right. He says, no, Ray, your combination is almost identical to mine. I'm not having that problem. You know, so I made a couple of tweaks and changes as per his recommendations. Nah, didn't change it much.
Okay.
But driving to Kevin's house, I'm on this one road where I knew there was a little bit of washboard, and I said, I kind of cringed waiting to hit the bump, and the car just vroom, went over it.
Oh.
And I was like, what just happened? So then I aimed for like a manhole cover, and now the car is exhibiting this very docile, more tame effect on rough roads. So, I mean, yesterday I took my wife out. We took a drive down to Captree. So, you know, all the way down the end of Ocean Parkway. And when you get out by, like, OBI, the road kind of does a washboard, a little bit of a washboardy thing.
Yeah.
And now my car would literally bounce. It wasn't doing it. For some reason, changing those rear tires, and it changed the geometry of the body only slightly, you know, totally affected the way the front end feels. And
wow.
I don't know why. So what I did was I took wheel well measurements from the bottom of the wheel lip on all four wheels, and
right.
I remeasured when I put the new tires back on to see what kind of difference I'm talking about. And I don't know why I did it.
I'm thinking that the sidewall has got something. The sidewall on the tire that you have on there now is taller than the sidewall you had taken off.
Okay, No. The 275, the 275-50s, it's a fairly decent size. But I think you're onto something that a couple people have talked about. I did run on the front tires because they are a small sidewall. I'm running 35 pounds in the front tires
right.
to protect the rim. Because
right.
I know from the motorcycles, you know, a small sidewall tire, if you hit it bad enough, you'll damage the rim. So I got 34 pounds in the front. I was running the rear tires at 30 pounds.
Uh-huh.
And it's a softer composition because it's a drag radial. So that
yeah.
did come into the conversation that maybe that softer composition in the rear is what the effect is. I'll know when I put the Nittos on because they won't be that composition.
Right. I'm thinking you have that tire pressure also was a factor in this. I agree. I remember putting 40 pounds of pressure in all four tires of the Pathfinder, and my wife wouldn't ride in the truck anymore.
Really?
She says, "What did you do to this thing? It's riding like a buckboard. What did you do to it?" I says, "Nothing. I said I put air in the tires, but I put 40 pounds in each tire." Just because, you know, rolling resistance. I didn't want
right.
anything soft and mushy. I wanted a nice hard rolling resistance. And I don't feel I'm one of those individuals that does not feel a harsh ride
yeah.
at all. For some reason, I just don't. I don't have that in me. I don't know why. But she does. And she's like, "I don't want to ride in that car anymore."
Yeah.
And I had to drop the tire pressure down to like 35 every corner. And then it was bearable.
Yeah.
But using her as a barometer, I could understand where you're coming from as far as using tire pressure or fiddling with the tire pressure to try and solve this problem. Have you put the Rally ones on the front?
No, I can't because of the disc brakes.
Oh, got it.
I could have, but I can't. I thought of that. Actually, Mike mentioned that to me yesterday, but I said, "Nah, you know, they don't clear the 14s. Don't clear the disc brakes."
Yeah,
if they were 15s,
that would have been great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome
if you could pull that off.
I would see that change. I would kind of expect because it's a tire change on the front, but
right.
now, like I said, I made a tire change on the rear, and it affected the front very much. So,
yeah.
So we'll see. You know, I'm
yeah.
thinking these tires may come in tomorrow. So early this week, I'll have the new tires and.
And the Nittos are a softer compound, aren't they?
Well, I don't know. I ordered a street tire, not a drag radial. So these are real street tires like I have on the front.
Right.
I have G-forces on the front. What are they, generals?
Mm-hmm.
General G-forces on the front. It's a real, you know, it's a made-for-the-street tire.
Okay.
So whereas a drag radial has very little tread, it's a drag radial.
Right.
And you can feel it's a very soft composition tire.
What would happen if you drop the PSI on the front when you get the Nittos? Just to see what it does. Maybe if you go down to like a 38, maybe that would be enough that it will save your rim on a hard bump, but give you that, take away that harshness.
You know, I really didn't do too much playing with the tire pressures. I don't know how I even came about the 34 and 30. I know like you know, they rated it, you know, they call for like 32. So I knew I wanted to go higher in the front, and I figured I'd go lower in the rear. Because I didn't want that big tire filled with a lot. I didn't want it to bounce. I was afraid.
No,
right. You know. But in effect, maybe that's what I did. Maybe the 30 was making it more compliant. So, again, this is the stuff that people get involved in that isn't necessarily written in the book. You can't look up the formula. It's
right.
seat of the pants, trial and error. And I just
right.
made a happy accident by saying, "Hey, let me go check some RPMs, you know." And,
yeah, exactly.
And then finding another thing like, "Hey, wow, I don't have to change my whole, I don't have to redesign my front end." Thank God.
See, this is where stock doesn't stink.
Well, you're right. You don't have that problem. And that's what Mike said to me. That's why I like my cars the way they're
stock.
Like, yes, correct. I
can open up the book. Yeah.
I can't disagree with that. I can't. But although, in my case, and this is what started this whole thing many years ago when I told you I was going to start restoring the car, and you said to me, why aren't you going to do it stock? In essence, I said stock stinks, because I said if I had stock suspension with, you know, what were they? I'm trying to think of the original
tires. The bias plies?
Yeah, what was it? 175? No, I forget what it was. What the original
tire size?
Yeah, they were thin and tall. I said the car would have rode like a, you know, like a
And
it would have wallowed and it would have swayed. You know.
Oh, yeah, totally. I love the way, like, someone like Jay Leno describes a bias ply tire. He says you're going around a turn, and if you're doing, like, if the turn is rated at, like, 25 miles an hour, you could do 26 miles an hour with a bias ply tire on your car, and you'll hear, you know, the tire's tucking under.
Right,
You're riding on the white wall.
Right. Hubcaps are flying off, like,
yeah. He's absolutely right. Bias plies are awful.
No.
But no, I would. You had given a very good argument for not going stock with the car. The car was already butchered by the time you got it, and then you just butchered it as you went along.
Well, that stuff was still original. All the suspension was still original. You know, it was all in place. I could have rebuilt it.
No, I think what you did with your car was definitely the right way to go, because it would have cost you just as much to go stock then it would have to go the way you wanted.
Less.
Are you going to enjoy the car? You can enjoy it the way you wanted.
It would have been less, because it would have just been a matter. I could have kept the A-frames and just got bushings and ball joints and, you know, and all the rebuild stuff. Whereas in, you know, now I got, you know, the tubular control arms are about $1,000 a pair. You know, so I mean, I did spend a lot more money, but I got a lot more performance out of it too. I literally corner without the car moving to the side to side at all. It kind of runs like a Lionel train. It's really, and that's what I wanted. I wanted that control.
Mm-hmm. No, so I understand.
We'll see. I'll report back when I get the tires back on there and see what happens. And hopefully the happy accident stays. And I'm going to run it by Joe. I haven't talked to Joe about it yet, but I will when I go to get the tires. So we'll see what happens.
Very cool. I like that.
That's
I like it a lot. But just to give you an update on my vehicle, talk about stock and improving.
Mm-hmm.
I put the chrome strips on the rocker strips on the bottom of the Chrysler, and my hands are still throbbing.
I bet. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Because the way the clip is now, mind you, we had discussed how to apply the clips, and I had a plan that I was going to use, and I had a plan B, which I thought was better, and I was going to use, and a plan C, and then we spoke to our cohorts, our body men here at Motormouth Radio, that all told me take a sheet metal screw and just send it right home, measure it up, and send it right home. Well, what do you think I did? I took the sheet metal screw and sent it right home, because all the plans failed completely.
Okay.
So I was able to do that and got the clips on there, but I had to get them in alignment with one another.
Yes.
And that was a chore because I'm measuring constantly and drilling and hoping to God that I'm in the right spot. And the clips were a little bit adjustable, but not much, but I was able to get them all together. But in order to get that whole chrome trim on the car, you have to hang it on the top of the clip and then pretty much send it home with the ball of your hand, because you really can't use anything else because you'll dent it.
Mm-hmm.
So no soft mallet is going to work on this. You're going to leave a mark. So I'm hanging the chrome strip on the clip and trying to push down on it as hard as I could while taking the ball of my hand and wrapping the bottom of it back just so I can get that thing to attach at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And I had 10 of them on either side. Now, mind you, the bodywork on the car was questionable as it was.
Yeah.
So to get them all to align perfectly was a chore, and then get this straight chrome trim on there was a chore. So it was, my hand was literally blew up for like 48 hours after I did the job. But one side took literally 3 days to do. The other side took about a day because I kindly got, you know, when you do that, you do one side, it takes forever, and the other side takes 20 minutes.
Right.
Because you kind of learn what you're doing.
Right.
So this chrome trim is on, and it looks spectacular. Except for my wife came out of the garage, looked at it, and went, that was it?
Ah!
She gave me one of those. She was like, you mean you complained and gave us grief for 3 days straight for this?
Yeah.
But no matter what she says, it still looks good.
It does. You sent me some pictures. I agree. It does look good. And I'll tell you what else looks good. The bottom of the hour, which we now have to take. We're going to take our break. And then we're going to talk to Nick from the FJ Club. He's a guy that I met through Instagram. We're going to talk to him about all the FJ. So we need to know first. And then I have a very, very rare treat for you on our bottom of the hour out song.
Oh, okay.
I think you will be surprised. Do we have an auto group of the hour?
Of course we do. The Motor Mouth Radio auto group of the hour this week. If you've manhandled every part of your vehicle, if you've touched, tightened, broken, fitted, forced, and taken apart and rebuilt every single part of your vehicle, if you've loosened and tightened every nut, bolt, and screw, if you've pressed every clip, removed every staple, and pried off every single piece of trim, if you've had both fenders, doors, trunk, and hood off the car, as well as the glass, if you've gotten it running, broke it, gotten it running again, broke it again, got it running, and blew it up, and got it running again, and if you know every single part of that vehicle that got it running again, and you've lived to tell the tale, you're part of the Motor Mouth Radio on the group of the hour.
Excellent. And I know that Dougie fits into that group. I do, too, as a matter of fact.
You certainly do.
So with that, you sit back and hold on to your headphones because you're going to love this. This is something we talked about years ago when I finally got it in my grubby little hands.
Okay.
On this compilation that you can't get anywhere else but online. And we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio. We'll talk with Nick from the FJ Club. Keep it where you got it on 90.3. WHPC.
BB Bumble and the Stingers, Martha Hooper, Rachel Singers, Lonnie Mack, a twang, and Eddie Hisman, Ring, we're going steady, take it easy, take me high, lie, lie, house of fire, locomotion, poker, passion, deeper purple, satisfaction, baby, baby, got it, give me, getting hot, Sammy's cooking, Leslie Gore, Richie Valens, end of story, my Vista Fuji, I'm a Kama Sutra, Rama Lama, Richard Perry, Spectre Barry, Righteous Archers, Nielsen, Harry, Shimmy, Jimmy, Coco, Pop, and Fats, back and finger, pop.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Oh.
You know them.
So nice talking to you guys. I miss you.
You love them.
I heard you talking about us, so I thought I'd call in.
Motor Mouth!
You want to serve dinner to them.
How you doing, guys? Sorry to interrupt. How are you, Ray? Chris is the sharpest drill bit, right?
This is the first time that I'm actually listening live and working on a car.
Our trained staff of two will help.
I'll call you back when I have the solution.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. That definitely points me in the right direction.
Now hold your breath. I hope you're sitting down.
Motor Mouth!
A tornado of urban legend and BS.
No. I'm not going to wax my Johnson. I'm going to wax my Evinrude.
As always, you are a consummate professional.
When I listen on my laptop, I got to keep that thing screaming. I don't mean to blow you up on the airwaves.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Oh, this is where I call wrong number by accident.
I want you all to know, sometimes I don't even wear pants.
I have no clue, and I can't hit it with a hammer to fix it.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
So I got to give you guys a call and talk to you.
Motor Mouth!
I'm in the car now.
They're going to talk about working on cars, but they're not going to work on yours.
There is no answer, and it makes you think, and I like the things that make you think.
What are you doing here?
I'm on break.
Okay, good. So are we.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHBC.
Motor Mouth!
Bring me more cap and try to leave me fishing, swimming, cross the market, make it man, pay it, walk
it. Ah. Have you been taken higher?
Baby bubble in the stinger's mouth, the hope will reach a singer's line, the Mac and Twine, the easy, here's the go yeah. Steady, take it easy, take it higher, lie higher, last time, have fun, house of fire, cocoa motion, become passion, people present satisfaction, baby, baby, gotta, give me, getting out of Sandy Cohen. That's all I can go. Life is a rock, but the radio rolled me.
Yeah, that's one of those.
I love that song.
One of our favorites. It was, yeah, definitely. I used to hear that on, FM radio back in the 70s. That was a great, great song. And then it disappeared. You know, that's, there's a lot of crazy stuff on here. The opening song that we played today was Charity Ball by a group called Fanny from 1971.
And yeah, you got me on that one.
Life is a Rock, but the Radio Rolled Me is Reunion from 1974. Reunion.
Yes. So. Yes, it is. I have that on a compilation album
eight-track
as well.
Tape.
That's you have it on 8-track. Yes, and there's a click in the center of it.
Right.
It the volume comes down and it, and then the volume comes back up again.
Right.
Very subtle.
Right. From Columbia House.
Really?
Yeah, that's funny, isn't it? I get an email from oldies.com and they sell DVDs, CDs, albums, and I bought stuff a while ago and then I just haven't in a long time, and I said, let me look through they had like a CD sale, and I bought a bunch of these CDs that have their compilations with, and wow. I saw that I bought this. It's got Tower Records on the cover. It's 24 songs. That's song number 24, and I said I'm buying it just for that. I gotta have it. Just hey, listen, I bought albums and CDs back in the day for one song, so I'm still doing.
Yeah.
But now the other 24 or the 23 are also very good. So. You know, it's all old stuff, so perfect.
Yeah, hey, I must admit, the 70s music to me, personally, it was truly, I think, the widest range of music. I think it was, if I was to listen to one decade and only one decade, it would be the 70s,
me too.
I think. That's just me personally.
We're going to do this. We're going to go to the phones, and we're going to say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Nick, how are you?
Good, good.
Excellent.
Hiya, Nick. How you doing?
Chris, my co-host. Nick? Yeah.
Pretty good. Thanks, guys.
All right. So, Nick, you're the perfect guy to ask this. Of course, Nick, you're from the FJ Club. Of course, on the internet, on Instagram, it's fjc.club, which is kind of cool. You got a dot in there. I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of your pictures. Nick, I have to tell you, you have more pictures of cars in mud or cars upside down, or what I like is like everybody standing on their cars, standing on their FJs. I'm like, if that was me, my father would have knocked me down three times over if I stood on his car growing up. I'm amazed. It's you guys really use your vehicles. I think it's wonderful.
We do. We build them to break them, as I like to say.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Being a new FJ owner, how unbreakable are they?
They are surprisingly really durable. I've had mine about 4 years, and the last 8 months I finally started building it. And I put it through almost everything I could. I've changed minor stuff from pulleys from going through the mud and stuff. But other than that, nothing mechanically, I mean... Mm-hmm. Gone wrong.
All right. And in fact, we have a good friend and listener to the show, Jeepin' Alan. Why do you think he's called that? And of course, he was giving me all sorts of grief. And I said, yeah, just stick it in your back pocket, Al. You stay with the Jeep. I'm going to be driving mine while yours is in the shop. You know, it's like don't worry about it. So, but that's what we do out here in the East. We relentlessly bust each other's chops over anything. So,
oh, yeah. That's we are on the statue.
Where are you located, Nick? Where are you guys at?
I'm at Boise, Idaho.
Oh, okay. Good.
All right.
Excellent.
Yeah, we're on the East Coast. We are definitely on the where there are no hills, there are no rocks, there are no mountains, and Ray goes and buys himself an FJ.
Well, we have beach. you go four-wheeling out here on the beach. And, of course, we have snow, so we can – that's the first thing I did was threw the thing up on any snowbank I could find. And, you know, I told my wife, now I can't be stopped. It's like
– yeah, it's a mall crawler is what you have.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Mall crawler.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a lot of difference through the country. There's a lot of different things. And, yeah, hey, we got what we got. What are you going to do? So, you know, Nick, we were just talking before about tire pressures and things like that. And I noticed on my FJ, one of the things I have new tires on it, new Goodyear ATs. and I kicked them up recently to 35 pounds of air. I actually got three miles to the gallon out of this thing over when I bought it, just by doing minor things.
Yeah, and then I just bought some general tires, and I used to run 30, but I went up to 35, and I gained about a mile
right
out of it.
Okay.
It's weird how I was listening to the show earlier, how tire pressure can change so much. Something so simple.
I know that on my motorcycle, I have a BMW motorcycle, and years ago, you know, I used Metzler tires, which are expensive motorcycle tires, but I had set the pressures, and I think I was using the same pressures all the time. Again, different front and rear, like I do on my car. Mm-hmm. And I changed it. I tweaked it a little, and I got out on the highway, and I felt the front end kind of oscillating. It was one PSI was all I went higher.
One.
I pulled over. I took one PSI out, and that stopped. So, yeah, wow. If you're tuned into your vehicle, you can feel it. Most people are just oblivious. They don't know. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
No, that's for sure.
Yeah.
How did you get your FJ, Nick? How'd you acquire it?
I found it at a Volkswagen dealership. I seen it. They had just gotten it in. It was a trade-in. And we ran I decoded the VIN and then went on Carfax. And it only had two owners. And I crawled underneath it because I was a vehicle inspector at the time. And I don't think it ever seen dirt. So I found one of those rare gems.
Wow.
And the inside was immaculate. There's nothing wrong with the inside.
Wow.
And, wow.
Yeah, got it and drove it for 4 years like it was, and then saved up because I refused to finance anything of my vices, as I say.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, you know, mine was also a two-owner truck, and it came out of Brooklyn. It spent its whole life in Brooklyn with both owners. I was like, you can't get flatter and more Morley than that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The forests of Brooklyn.
Yeah, exactly. So, Nick, what do you think of the most common mods that people would do or that you would recommend to do with a vehicle like that?
I get asked that a lot, and obviously personal preference and mm-hmm. everything, but easy ones would be tires are always a good start.
Right.
Depending on suspension or if you want to lift it, there's suspension kits out there for about $1,000 if you're not going to go, you know, serious off-roading that will handle most roads and be a smoother ride on the street.
Yeah.
And then there's little cosmetic stuff like most of us will black out, like the silver on the bumpers and the door handles and mirrors.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that. So this guy had done the mirrors, but I think he did it with shoe polish. Because I said, oh, good, I got black mirrors, but I see it like it runs, so I got to take those off and redo that with some real paint. You know.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the mods on the Instagram site, and they're looking very cool.
Yeah.
What were the years that the FJ came out again?
2007 to 2014.
Oh, right. Okay. So, wow, it had an 8-year run.
And I did find out, if you watch YouTube, if you go on, they are still selling them in Asia. There's a girl from a dealership in Vietnam, and she walks around a brand new 21. And I tell you, you would think it was one of the older ones. They changed the lights just slightly. But even the interior looks almost identical to the original truck. So I was thinking about, man, what would it cost to import one? Yeah, I know.
Nick, out of curiosity.
Yeah, but you know, Nick, I could always fly to Vietnam, buy it, and drive it home. Just like cross
through the rice paddies.
And I forget where it is. I think it's Korea or Vietnam. There's a huge club presence, and they put a lot of stuff up on YouTube. And these guys, you want to talk about modding out their vehicles? These guys go nuts. I mean,
really?
Wow, yeah, crazy nuts.
You could see the determination. Nick, what's out of these out of the FJs, is there anything like an Achilles heel that where it's like once you get one, you got to change whatever it is just to keep it as durable as you say? Is there something in it that's a must to change?
Honestly, no. I mean, the way they designed them, excuse me, is ahead of their time, I guess you could say. Sorry. But they put like the breathers and everything are up higher. You know, they have everything ran. So if you want a bar, like the little plastic A-pillar in the front pops off and it's already pre-ran. You just got to put a switch in and just plug it in. And it sits.
Yeah, I call it like our other callers, yeah. Joe would always say, it's Toyota tough. And, you know, working on a lot of cars, I've never seen another vehicle that was so easy to take apart, like the interior panels and things. I had to take the console out of mine because the guy had a deli stuck in the bottom of it. It was ridiculous. So it really just comes apart so easy and then goes back together. And you don't have extra clips. You don't have broken clips. It's Toyota tough. It's really built surprisingly. Well, not, yeah. If you know Toyota, it's not surprisingly. It's just built very well.
Right. No, it is amazing.
And the thing that got me and my wife even, we're on the highway. She goes, wow, you know, I like riding in this thing. I'm like, well, yeah, you know why? Because you're up high. You'll never hit the windshield. You know, I mean, even if you didn't have a seatbelt on and got hit, you wouldn't hit the windshield. And I said, you feel safe. But she goes, no, it rides well. I'm like, you're right. It really, even for a short wheelbase, a Bronco is like a bucking Bronco.
Oh, yeah.
The FJ is a surprisingly docile driving truck. If it's not, yeah, mine isn't lifted, so I don't know if you had, like, you know, 33s on it or anything, but, you know,
it's still pretty smooth.
Yeah, so that's it's all pluses. So, and in fact, when I pulled into the parking lot here today, they do motorcycle training outside across from the radio station. There's a green and white FJ parked right out there, and I'm not driving mine today, so I'll park next to him.
So, Nick, what do you do recreationally with it? Do you hopping on boulders with this thing? What are you just plowing it through the mud? What do you do with the club?
I'm not really a rock crawler, so to speak, but I like faster the better. I grew up in Southern California, so Baja racing was my go-to.
Cool.
So I like old logging roads, fire roads, going as fast as I possibly can, and occasional little bit of mud. I don't get too crazy, but...
Right.
I think if you're looking on my page, two posts back is we went out yesterday when the Black Cherry won there.
Right.
Had to do some stuff for the snorkel upgrade, so we crossed a few creeks and stuff and had a good time.
Nice. So when you go out with how many guys do you go out with typically?
Here in town, there's just FJs. There's probably six or seven of us, but we have a few Tacomas and stuff that usually go with us.
Right.
We're not biased. I mean, we're just anybody that wants to go, you know.
You know, here's a question that gets asked to me as an owner, and I have a theory, but, you know, you may know more. Why do you think Toyota canceled the FJ?
Well, the real reason is because of the sales. They sold, I think it was 200,000 over the 8 years, and half of those sales were in the first 2 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the sales just started declining down, and they just stopped because they weren't selling as much. That's why the last year when they did the special edition, they tried to get as many sales, but it still just didn't take off as well as they wanted to, or kept going, I should say.
I thought it might have been, too, to kind of preserve the other line, because you had the Tacoma, you have the Tundra, you have the you know, the Highlander, so too many vehicles in one, you know, in one corral, so to speak, I thought might have had something to do with it, too. But now, you know, so then my next question is, in retrospect, when the bigwigs at Toyota are looking now and saying, hey, these things aren't devaluating. They're escalating in value every year.
They never went down.
What did we do? You know, you'd think they would say, hey, since they do have them in Asia, like, hey, how about reintroduce them in the American market? I don't know. Who do we talk to, Nick?
That's a good question. I know there's rumors of, I don't know, I forgot the name, if it was like Trailhawk, but something that they, Toyota had put in for the name, but they didn't say what it was for, and there's speculation of it could be an FJ, it could be the new Tundra.
Yeah.
No one knows, but of course, all the FJ people are like, it's an FJ, but there's no concepts that are true ones yet.
Right.
They're being released out, but I do know in Saudi Arabia or Dubai, they also still make it, and they have one called the Extreme. It's the FJ Extreme. It's pretty nice. Yeah. It changed up. They put a few more lights on it and some other things.
Okay. Do you have other vehicles in your fleet, Nick?
Just a Elantra.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Daily driver, right?
You bet.
We all have
those. The best ones.
Those are for the trips, you know, because gas is
so
wonderful. Yeah, Jay.
Being from SoCal, were you ever into the hot rod muscle car or custom scene?
My first car was actually a 68 Chevelle.
Nice.
So that's probably the car I missed the most out of all the cars I've owned.
Yeah, nice.
Right. Don't tell me. Don't tell us. You sold it when you got married.
No,
it's always the It's always the case.
I was 17 at the time, and after the third time I blew it up, I was probably 18. I was like, yeah, I'm done. Someone traded me for a truck.
Right.
You know, 2 weeks later, I'm like, you want to trade back? And I'm like, no.
Yeah. what's the street scene like in Iowa these days? How is you know, what's going on out there on the ground?
Well, there's a lot of Miatas out here. I don't know what the deal is with that, but they have every at the fairground every I think it's one first Saturday of the month they have a little course set up and they all bring like, their cars out there.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, and they're probably all afraid of you.
Yeah. Hey, you know, let me ask you something, Nick.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Let me ask you something, because I'm new to the truck thing, and I've never had one before, certainly not a four-wheel drive. And, you know, I've always had cars, and, you know, of all sizes and wagons and all that. But now I find that driving the FJ, first of all, it slowed me down because I'm trying to conserve a little bit of gas, so I'm driving a little more saner. I'm also, you know, enough to be a worry about other people on the road. But I notice people now are like challenging me. Like they're riding right up my tail and cutting me off and like almost like playing with the big guy. Like, what are you going to do? And I want to just nudge them off the side of the road. Is that something that happens with trucks? Do the smaller guys feel they have to pick? I mean, I didn't do that when I was driving my Mazda. You know, I didn't go pick on a truck. I know better, you know? But
yeah, people do that out here too. I don't know. Okay. Or if I'm at a light and they're next to me, it's like, they take off really fast and they wait for me at the next light. It's like, I'm driving a tank here, guys.
Yeah.
I can't,
right.
You
right.
Know.
Yeah. I got to say, too.
By a supercharger, but.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you know, by truck standards, the FJ, it isn't a slug, but, you know, I wouldn't go drag racing it. You know, I kind of know better. But, yeah, okay. I just wanted to see if that was kind of a universal thing. But I do get, there's a woman in town by me has a nice, a beautiful blue and white one. And I did get the FJ wave, you know, from this woman. And I was like, hey, yeah, you got it. Yeah. So
I always feel weird when I do it. She's like, hey, how's it going?
I know. You know,
what? Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Because that, to me, I wish I could do that with so I just wave at police officers, unfortunately, but that's because I drive an old police car.
Nah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm looking at pictures. You guys have a ball with these. It's just, it's amazing. I feel like I'm left out.
So what's up? Go on, Nick. What's the best part?
No, and the best part about, I mean, any vehicle, but with FJs, they made them so, how do I say, like, upgradable, and they designed it that way where, you know, sometimes I post something that's in, like, Saudi Arabia, because they don't put 35s on it with a lift. They're in sand most of the time, so they have, you know, more of a street tire R look, and they like them to look more like Range Rovers in the front and have, like, wings on the back of them.
Right.
And when I post them, man, I get hounded. They're like, why would you post that? Like, it's a different country. Like, they don't know that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how to say it, but their tastes are different, so it's not.
Yes,
it's not what they're used to. They don't have King shocks on, you know, 35s and doing rock crawling. They like to go in the sand, you know, and that's their look they have. But I like all of them. I mean, even if it's not my taste, I just think it's cool that someone made it their own.
Yeah, I'd like to see like what Chrysler did back in the 60s, put like a tractor drive. You know, put a tractor drive on the FJ. That'd be perfect for the sand. You know, the like tri-wheel thing.
There are pictures of them with tractor drives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Nick, what do you think is the best brake upgrade for an FJ?
I really like my R1 Concepts.
Uh-huh.
They reasonably priced. Probably cheaper than, like, AutoZone, their best ones. I mean, but they're a racing brake.
Right.
You can get a full set. I mean, rotors, pads. I think it's $200 maybe.
Wow, that's and they're out in California, I believe, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I see their stuff. I follow them all the time. Yeah, that's going to be on my list of things to do. Of you know, maintenance is always key with me, and I figured, hey, you know what? I'm not even going to measure the rotors. I'm just going to change them. You know, just let's start fresh with new rotors. Might as well get drilled and slotted ones while I'm at it. You know, I'm trying to think. What's the other company that I use a lot? That was I've used it on the cars. Power Stop makes some nice stuff as well.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
But okay, yeah, that's good to know.
Any good stories that happen with the club, or anyone roll these things into a river or something? I mean, anybody you had to drag out?
Not yet, thankfully.
I'll tell you, it's about 2 months ago, there was an accident in, what was it, in Texas? There was on the interstate. It was like a 65, 70 car wreck. And there's a video that got posted. I think, Nick, you posted it, too. Other people did as well, where this truck came bound down and rear-ended. You could see from the other side of the divider, it was an FJ. You saw the white roof. The truck hit it. Right? The truck hit it, and it disappeared. And then they showed video later. I have pictures of this thing. It was literally totaled, obviously, and burned. But I heard that the owner he survived it.
Wow. He actually crawled out and started saving other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a whole story on it. Yeah, he didn't even realize he got hit. I think he was just so stunned, but he got out and just started getting other people out of their cars and everything. It's a crazy story.
Yeah, I don't know how you don't know you got hit in something like that. Well, he must have been in shock.
So basically his FJ exploded. It was decimated, and he survived and then went to go save other people. That is high praise for a vehicle right there. If it gets blasted by a semi and the owner can get out and still function, even though shocked.
I don't have the video here, Chris. I'll see if I can send it to you, but I'll send you some stills that were taken from it, and you'll see what shape this truck was in. It was gone.
That's amazing. That's incredible when you think about it. That's totally high praise for a vehicle in itself.
Very safe.
Just in itself. Yeah. Very safe. Exactly. Yeah. Now I got to go looking for one. But do you know the funny thing is the prices? What would be an average price now for an FJ? How much are you going to spend if you were looking for an FJ now? What would you be spending?
It's weird because you see them and you're like, there's no way someone's going to pay this. One of the FJ guys, FJ Matt in Canada, he posted, there's a 2007, I don't remember the mileage, but they want $31,000 for it.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Wow.
It's crazy.
And I'm like, I paid $14,000 for mine. It's a 2007. Now it's almost 5 years now. There was one the other day, I think it was a 2013, had 700 miles on it, went for $64,000.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
I don't have that kind of money.
Wow.
Well,
that is amazing.
Besides money, the other thing we're out of is time right now. So, Nick, we got to wrap and get out of here because we have another show coming in. Kim is going to do Thunder Road, and we got to bolt. So,
alrighty.
I want to thank you for coming on. We'll keep in touch. We'll get you back on again in the future. We'll talk some more.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you guys for the time.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick. This has been great.
So long. Chris, that was Nick from FJC.club on Instagram. Follow him. And, What do we always say before we jump out of here? Because it's time to go.
Don't follow us home. And if you're going to follow us home, make sure it's an FJ.
Exactly. So Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, we'll be back next week with more Motormouth Radio. For now, stay tuned to Thunder Road. We'll see you next week.
See you, bye.
Bye.